Hello and welcome to episode 60 of the Timber Podcast System with myself, Matthew Gibson. As always, I'm joined by Jack Gorn.
Hello. Hello, it's me, Jack Gorn.
How are we all doing?
How are we doing?
I'm doing good, how are you?
It's sleepy, it's the end of the weekend, we're recording on a Sunday this time, rather than midweek like we've been doing for ages. But yeah, it's good, we're all good, happy enough, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Enjoying playing lots of games and looking forward to Christmas.
Looking forward to Smash Brothers, which is probably the same thing.
It basically is Christmas.
Basically is. What am I talking about? Probably, of course it is. So, last episode we had like a very chunky new section. In fact, we didn't have any what we've been playing at all. Whereas this week, we've condensed it a little bit more. So, we've got a shorter new section that hopefully we could actually get out in good time. And then we've also got what we've been playing. So, it all should be good from there.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, Jack, what is our opening music since it's your turn to pick the...
It's my turn to choose. Yay. And because I've been playing lots of Pokemon Let's Go recently, I decided to use the gym battle music from that as the intro. So, I hope you enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Anything else? I'm not sure if there's much to say, really. I'm just like a bit on low energy, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just like
Smash has got me all
hopefully
hyped
the rest
up.
Of the podcast will make us more hyper. Yeah, and overhyped. Let's just go into the next section. Let's do it.
Yeah, so let's move into our news section. So this is the news section of the podcast right now. As I mentioned, we have a bit of smaller showing, mainly because there has been quite a good amount of news, although I'd say a lot has been already discussed to death, for the most part. The first and arguably the most prominent is the fact that Smash fans have been too impatient. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has been properly leaked. It was sold early at one retailer in Mexico. However, the full game has made its way online via an illegal ROM download. So that's always fun, knowing that people can pirate the game very much early. That doesn't make much. Very early, rather, before release. So I don't know.
It's not great, is it?
Not great
honest,
at all.
It's happened.
Like, well, yeah, any leak is bad, and any pirating is bad. So you put them together, it's not really great. Especially, we were so close well. It was only 2 weeks. It was only two weeks before the...
It was, like, released early in somewhere in Mexico, wasn't it?
It wasn't released early. It was it was sold early. So that's how the person got on their hands on the copy.
That's
and
stupid.
He just... Yeah. Probably, like, the retailer probably sold it for more than, maybe. I could imagine he got debated, like fooled by the customer. So pretty much everything about the game has came out.
Most of these, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I've seen lots on websites and stuff about like pictures of all the characters in the game and all the unlockables and things like that. But I think we knew most of them anyway, so I don't know if it
it's more,
was that much of a...
The bigger ones is like World of Light, you know, especially for me. Some new details that came out about that, like how many bosses there are and like some other details. Like, thankfully, I haven't been spoiled on much. I think I may know one boss that we didn't know about already, and I think I know the number of bosses... And like how big the actual story mode may be. But other than that, there's been two things. One has been just like a lot of tech and new footage from the competitive scene, which has been quite exciting. I'm liking how the game is looking, and the reaction seemed fairly positive, I think.
Okay.
How the game is played. Of course, it's annoying because I would have liked that excitement to all be on day one. That would be nice to have, like, everyone just, like, buzzing about that on day one. But no.
I mean, from all the people that had, like, their YouTube channels and things shut down because of this as well.
This is the... There's everything. So, like, the whole thing with Data Mined as well, naturally. So, with it came pretty much the whole soundtrack. I won't go into too much detail because I do want to say, you know, there are some new remixes that haven't been announced before from other series and games. They are very good, but I've got to be honest, the music was the only bit of the leak hype I gave into. So I was just, like, so desperate to just check out, like, the music. So I was like, okay, you know what? It's happened. I don't want to deny it. I may as well just see it. Bloody hell. What a soundtrack. Because apparently there's actually over 1,000 tracks. And I think even bigger than that. So there must have been, like, a big increase. Now, that's the thing that I'm kind of worried for, in a sense, because they're not all remixes. A lot are just, like, cut from the games, which is fine. But, personally, I would have preferred, like, a more selective list. Like, maybe bring back all the remixes from every Smash game. And then, for music...
You can't have 1,000 tracks which have all been remixed and redone, though, surely.
No,
there's gonna be,
yeah, so, like, that
ages.
No, but, I mean, I would have preferred, like, a shorter but sweeter, you know. I'm still happy with that soundtrack. That's still, like, amazing achievement. And I think the game is still, like, at 16 gigabytes. That's pretty nuts. But I was looking at it, and, like, there's a lot from, like, Mario games, for example. It just seemed kind of like, okay, we could put this in just because we can. That's my personal gripe with the soundtrack, to be honest, especially when I'm trying to sort out all the music in for the Sages, because now that like all the songs will be tied to by the series stages, so like you could have, say, the Mario Galaxy theme on any Mario stage, whereas before it would only be on the Mario Galaxy stage. So now that all Mario music will be shared on every Mario stage, that would just be like a bit tedious. My eyes. I don't know. That's like my one gripe. But like the new remixes, the new remixes are just so good. I think. So the recent one they put out was for the was a remix of the Nintendo Switch Presentation 2017 trailer. That was quite good. Thankfully, the original is in there as well, and I think I prefer the original anyway. But there's just, like, a lot more really cool remixes, and I hope there's even more in the main game. Especially Gangplank Galleon. There's finally the full version of that was uploaded. And it's great. It was lovely. So, yeah, going back...
Yeah, I mean, I've seen lots of things about the leaks, but I've just tried my best to avoid them and best chance I've got. Like, if I see it on Twitter, I'll just like quickly scroll away from that and then ignore that kind of thing. But I think some of them have just been like impossible to try and avoid. It's been a little bit annoying. But I think I've had the same problem with Pokemon Let's Go as well, if I'm honest, because I've been trying to avoid the like all the story elements of that game, and everyone just keeps posting about it and putting it up there, and you just can't avoid it in the digital age now. It's just crazy.
It's just
I was saying the YouTubers though, that there was like three or four of them that just all got their channels completely shut down for uploading some of this content.
Ones like Crunchy and Distifizer. Those were two pretty well-known video game OC channels that got like completely taken down because of it. See, it's sad that happened, but at the same time, you know, I think Distifizer did say in an interview that he did expect it to happen, like he knew the risks. But if he waited too long, then he would have been left behind.
It's a difficult one. That's it, because you want to try and be that first person to like release this like this music or part of the game, so that you're the first people to see it. And then you get those millions of views on your channel, that could give you quite a few, you know, quite a few hits on other videos and things. So there's quite a lot of money you could have made out of that. But at the same time, it's all this sort of copyright sort of thing again, isn't it? Because it's not his to post up.
It's more like the fact that it's from
it, really. So
it's more to do with the fact that it's leaked, you know, because Dissifier's own Crunchy had always done that for other Nintendo games, especially ones that already had their soundtracks uploaded on actual legal streaming services like Xenoblade 2. I think for Xenoblade 2, it's only on Apple Music for iTunes, but still.
It was a weird reaction, though. It was a weird reaction, because, like, if you see something online been leaked, you either go and watch it straight away, or you ignore it. Whereas here, it was just massively people saying, they shouldn't have done that, they shouldn't upload this, they shouldn't have done that. And I think they've sort of got the consequences of that happening, the fact that they've now got no channel whatsoever. But it's a little bit, I think maybe it's a little bit too far, I think, like shutting the whole channel down. They could quite easily shut those videos specifically down, or any video containing Nintendo stuff.
I don't know. I think,
you know what I mean?
Just
it's just like, and
I don't know.
All the ones that I've read about this, they've all said, like, apologized for their actions, and they've said that if they want us to take the videos down, we would have taken them down straight away. But because there's no communication about it, there's nothing they could have done, because it was literally just shut down and they couldn't do anything about it, kind of thing. So it's a bit of a weird one. But at the same time, I think, like, most people have not, like, there's a lot more negativity around it, I think, from the community than I was expecting, kind of thing. I think, like, if someone saw something online, they'd just be happy about it, kind of thing. But with this game, there's such this hype around being able to play it on the straight away, and having this leak happen is sort of given that real weird, it's a weird situation, if I'm honest. But I personally just don't think they should have had their channels completely shut down, but it's one of those, you know, you can't really, there's no right answer to this, you know. It's their copyright, there's their stuff, what they don't want put out there yet. Most companies have this sort of, they give a date which you let you stream from, or let the press put their releases out, and it's normally only a couple of days before the game comes out. So they've already broken those, and I think that's the main point why, rather than any other reason, if I'm honest.
It's more the fact that, like, it's through a pirated copy. That's the thing, you know. It wasn't like, oh, we're giving you this game early. This is the embargo date for it. So, like, don't say anything about this until this date, i.e., so that's like reviews. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's pirated as well, so, like, they had, like, no intention anyway. Well, Nintendo had no intention of giving the game to them anyway. And just the fact that it's all pirated is kind of their fault, really. It is weird, because I think in a way it is too much, but again, that is kind of given. You can't be like, you know, you're still kind of going from, like, doing this kind of stuff. You're still getting fame from using stuff from a pirated copy, I think.
That's it,
But other than that, Smash Bros. Is the best pre-selling Nintendo Switch game so far, and the best pre-selling Smash Bros. Game ever.
Yeah.
So that came out.
Yeah.
Very good. Really looking forward to it.
Definitely.
So could we see it sell more than even Pokemon, then?
Pokemon Let's Go has done very well so far, hasn't it? In terms of sales.
Let's go into that quickly, because it was reported that Pokemon Let's Go sold over 3 million in its first week. Very impressive stuff there.
So, and didn't it have the highest pre-orders yet of a Switch game until you mentioned the Smash recently has actually already hit over their pre-orders, over what Pokemon Let's Go got. So it's a little bit slanted with Pokemon Let's Go, because there's always two copies of this game, so it's always going to sell fairly well, because there are those people that buy both copies. But Yeah, it's good. It's good that it's sold well.
Yeah.
I think overall, I think people are fairly happy with what they got. Yeah.
Speaking of Pokemon, in Pokemon Go, PvP trainer battles are finally coming to Pokemon Go. And so it took them 2.5 years. You know.
Yeah, nearly three now. So, yeah. We've not seen much of it other than a few images on Twitter and Facebook. But it just shows a trainer on a battlefield and an exclamation mark over her head. Like a trainer comes walking yeah. towards you in the game. So it's, yep. It'd be interesting to find out how the PvP will work.
See, like,
I was talking to it about it the other day.
See, this is the thing, like, sorry, Matt, that, sorry. Like, I know PvP would still be a big thing, but if it's just going to be, like, a lot of, like, tapping just to do damage, like it is in the raid battles and the gym battles, then it's still not enough to, like, get me back in properly, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a lot better now than what it was this time last year with Pokemon Go. There's a lot more to it. There's more opportunities to be able to get Pokeballs and things like that. We're doing research tasks and stuff like that, so you don't have to be like right next to Pokestops to be able to do stuff. You can get your friends to send you gifts and stuff like that. So it's definitely improved. It's definitely better than it was.
It's definitely improved. And they're still trying
to add more to it. But I agree with you. I don't know how they're going to do this battle system with just the two basically keep tapping at each other and use the special move, basically. I don't understand how it would really work very well, like, against each other.
But I just don't feel like that would be very fun, you know.
Mm. It depends what they do with it. Whether there's some sort of bonus to doing that kind of thing, maybe. Mm. But
that's just me personally. Yeah, so, like, do you have anything else to add?
I mean,
about
it's nice that they're adding it. It's nice that they're adding it, but I say it's not really. I don't think it really needs it now, if I'm honest. I think at first, when people really demanded it, I think a lot of the people there have actually left the game. So, I don't know. It works as it is at the moment. But I guess if you can do. Keep adding more and more stuff, it's going to improve on it going forward, I reckon. But never mind. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah. Moving on to my favourite news topic of this episode, Fire Emblem is getting its own expo in May, on the May 4th, I can't say my words right, there's a Fire Emblem expo coming May 4th, 2019, should be in Japan, I doubt it'll be over here. This is very exciting, you know, celebrating one of Nintendo's most successful franchises in recent years, arguably. Beating the likes of Star Fox, who's kind of, you know.
You keep drumming that one in there.
Oh, yeah, I always but do.
Fire Emblem still sucks.
it's weird because I don't think we've really had something like this. So, like, a lot of people are saying there's going to be a load of announcements. I can see there being a fair couple. But I think it's just going to be like a celebration of the series. Let me see, when was the first one out? Fire Emblem first game. Because I wonder, because I swear it may have been
1990.
Yeah, 1990.
Shadow Dragon and Blade of Light, which was only released on the Famicom in Japan.
Mm-hmm. So I was gonna say it would have been for like a 30th anniversary, but that would be in 2020. Yeah, of course I'm very excited for it. Everyone that's listened to the show knows that I am quite the Fire Emblem fan. I wonder then when Fire Emblem Three Houses were actually be launching then, because we haven't heard anything about it since
E3. It's set to release Q2. Q2 2019,
it
says. That's all I've got. All
right. Yep. I thought it was just...
Q2.
Yeah, I think it was spring 2019, actually.
That's what it says, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so like we'll probably give you some Fireman Free Houses stuff. It depends on when it's launching, that is. I can see it being April, May, because May seems quite the important month for Fire Emblem games. Because that was when Fire Emblem Echoes launched, that's when Fire Emblem Fates launched over here in the UK. But then again, that was just UK for Fire Emblem Fates. Other than that, I'd love to see Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE, getting a port to Switch, or a sequel. Either one of those would be great. Because I think it is a very underrated game of the Wii U. I've said this a lot of times before on the pod. Other than that, I'd love an anime. I think it would be very good to get an anime adaptation for Fire Emblem in there. I don't think it'll be anything to do with Fire Emblem Heroes. There could be something to do with Fire Emblem Heroes, but that's they just announce stuff on their own accord for the most part. Yeah, that's pretty much.
So what will actually happen at this this show kind of thing then? What would actually happen at
I
Fire Emblem
presume,
event?
Probably maybe at the start of the event or the end of it, there'll be like a live stream presentation. Where they show off a lot of stuff, maybe some like fan creations or whatever, maybe a new look at some new games, maybe some announcements. I don't think they could do a global one. Like, oh, tune into Fire Emblem Direct, and that's what kicks off the Fire Emblem Expo, and the Expo's all about all this new Fire Emblem stuff. But apart from that, I think it'll just be a celebration of the series. But it's very odd. Yeah, see, that's why I'm thinking, because that's probably why they've announced it so far ahead. Because it's about 6 months away. By the time this episode is out, it's just about 6 months away. Yeah, I'm very excited for it. I love Fire Emblem, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what can be cooked up there. Sorry for my sniffling throughout this whole episode. It seems that I've caught a cold. It's not as severe as the one I had, I think, back in June. I remember that episode. I was very sick. I was like, you know what, we need an episode before E3. So I apologize for my constant sniffling this
So
episode.
that's cool. I was just looking at sales of Fire Emblem throughout the whole series. And the highest selling on here is Fire Emblem Fates, which was 2.8 million.
Yeah.
But didn't they have three versions of that? Or was that the
Yes
other one?
and no. So like Stad, Birthright and Conquest, that may have added into something there. But
That's it.
Revelations, you already had to have one or the other anyway.
Yeah.
See, and I think Fire Emblem is definitely on the up. Fire Emblem Heroes is their most successful mobile game, I believe. Not most downloaded, I think that only goes to Super Mario Run, but in terms of success, Fire Emblem Heroes has definitely been the most successful. I was gonna say, yeah, and probably Fire Emblem Warriors. That may have. S We don't have any numbers on that yet because I think that's handled by Koei Tecmo.
I've got it's exceeded over a million,
Yeah, I thought it was a
that's all, of
million.
course, all I
Yeah.
know.
See, that's pretty good for
Yeah, which isn't bad for
For a
a side sort of
spin-off,
game,
for like
basically.
their
Yeah, for a
first,
spin-off. Yeah.
well, technically second, because I think Tokyo Mirage Sessions would qualify for the first. So I'm hoping for big numbers of free houses because I think Echoes could have done more if it was released outside of the Switch's life, because of course that launched quite early into the Switch's life and that may have been overshadowed, let's say. Yeah, I wonder how much Shadows reflected. Valentia did Fire Emblem Echoes sales.
We also have Wargroove coming out next year, which I don't know if it's got an official release date yet. Let me just double check.
I don't think it's got an official yet. I think they
Initial
just
release
said
date is supposed to be
2019.
March 2019 is what the date says on Wikipedia, but whether you believe that or not is up to
All
you.
right.
But yeah. delayed till first quarter of 2019. But that is very good from what I've played of it at EGX and Insomnia. So it was an interesting game. So it basically is Advance Wars, Fire Emblem mashed into one.
I can't wait for Wargroove.
So,
Wargroove and Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah, I can see that doing very well. And being from a like Chucklefish who provided Stardew Valley and Pocket Rumble as well, of all things. So, yeah, they've got a decent dev behind them to help out. So, publisher, I want to call them.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
I think that's that with the news section. Much shorter than last episode, only about 20 minutes.
We tried our best to keep it short, but didn't we?
So with that, let's move on to our next section. So this is the Why Have We Been Playing section of the podcast now. Jack, would you like to go first?
I can go first if you would like me to go first. That's cool.
Cool.
Stop dying, Matthew, in the background there. So I've been playing all sorts of different things the last like couple of weeks because we sort of missed the last week's what we've been playing for obvious reasons. First I'll mention I do Deltarune first, which if you don't know what it is, it's basically Undertale 2/prequel/something else. We don't really know what it is at the moment. Toby Fox just plonked this file out for everyone to go chase over and go and download. You click it and it takes you to Deltarune, which is you download it and you play on your PC, and you basically start through the world, and it feels very similar in setup to Undertale. You've got like a little heart that appears on the front of the first intro, and then all of a sudden you see some of the characters from Undertale who you like previous boss battles and other monsters you saw in the previous game, and this one sort of follows the same sort of aspects, but there's slight changes to battle mechanics and there's extra characters and different story developments in this. It's much improved in terms of having multiple characters in an RPG battle system. It's still got the Undertale being chased around as a heart, things attacking you, and if you get hit by that you are damaged. You take damage from all three characters in this game rather than just one character. It's very similar, and in a way that's a good thing and sometimes that's a bad thing, but overall I think I'm very happy with what I've been playing of it. The character development in the game is quite interesting.
I've heard that it's got on a really good battle theme.
There's lots of really good battle themes and music throughout the game. It's available to buy the soundtrack on iTunes and Bandcamp and some other places now. And I bought the whole album. It's only about a fiver, and it's not that many songs on it. I think there's about 30-40 songs altogether, but most of them are like a couple minutes long at most. But I really enjoy Susie's theme, who is one of the characters who is in your party. She is basically like a schoolyard bully. But you sort of understand why she's a bully and why she sort of acts as you go through the game kind of thing. And that's what I really liked about it, what I played of it, that her character was really interesting to me compared to the other characters. I think it's quite obvious who the other characters are. There's lots of interesting parts to it. Hopefully we can see more development from it going forward. This has been called Chapter 1, but from the sounds of it, it's nothing more has been developed of it other than basically this demo. But it's a fairly long demo. You could probably get an hour to 2 hours basically, I guess, of gameplay. So it's worth giving it a go. If you go to deltarune.com, I think it is, you can go download the game and play it right now. So yeah, it's very fun. I'm going to do a full playthrough for my YouTube channel when I get a chance, maybe over the Christmas period, something like that. Overall pretty cool.
Yeah, I picked up Undertale again. Yep. Actually, and I've been meaning to try and get that all done and over with. I think I was like about. So because I got a new laptop since the last time I played it, I've had to go through the neutral route again.
Okay.
It's been fun. The music's great. That's probably my favorite bit about the game, to be honest.
Yeah.
And just his personality in general. But apart from that, I don't know. It's fun. I still need to play more of it.
I think story and gameplay wise, it's definitely an interesting different loop to it, kind of thing. It's not just a, well, you can change one thing in the game, like say you accidentally killed one character, and that gives you a different ending, kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And depending on how you through the game, you get an option, basically of three endings, but then there's also an extra couple of sentences that you could get differently every time you play. So it's interesting in that game. And there's also, from what I've heard, 100 different extras that can be unlocked in every single playthrough you do. So to see all of these things, you probably have to play the game like way over 100 times. So it's
Jeez.
pretty crazy. Yeah. Have you, just out of curiosity, have you picked up the Switch version of Undertale yet,
No,
or played?
I'm just reusing my Steam version of the game.
Just the same version, okay. Because I want to just bring that up, because there's an extra boss that got added to the Switch version after you complete a certain part of the game, and I've not actually done it yet, but from what I've heard, it uses the Joy-Cons as in a like movement mini
Oh.
game kind of thing, like a boss mini game. So
Right.
yeah, it was an interesting thing to sort of do extra for the Switch. It's unlocked in the same room where the PS. I don't know if you've played the PS4 one either, but there's a PS4 version where you can go underneath Papyrus's sink, and there was a secret room you could go and explore around PS4 version. On the Switch version, it's the same place. Everything from the PS4 room's been destroyed, and there's an extra door which you can go through, and this is where that boss fight is. So give it a go if you've picked up the Switch version, and it's something different, something extra added.
Nice.
So yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, I've played. Right, I'll try and do another one quick non-Nintendo one, which was Red Dead Redemption 2. I've completed this game, so
You completed it?
I completed it. Yeah, like the story mode, basically. I've not 100%ed it or anything like that, but yeah, that is a game of the year by far.
Cool.
It's so good. It's like it's very similar to the first game, but like everything has been enhanced on it. There's so much more you can do, like different missions which you wouldn't expect to do. There's links with Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto characters and things like that. So there's lots of weird things that happen within the game. But the story itself of Arthur, who's the character you play in this one,
Right.
his story and where he ends up at the end is fantastic. It's such a brilliant game. I highly recommend everyone picks up and plays it. They just released Red Dead Online beta, which I've given a go the last couple of days. That's been quite fun as well. Very similar to Grand Theft Auto Online as well, but it's got that same sort of aspect to it. But it seems like to on this game, because it's set in the past, you don't earn as much money as you would in like Grand Theft Auto. So you're not getting thousands and thousands of to complete a mission. You're
No.
getting like $50 at most if you're lucky, kind of thing. So it's but then everything else is sort of scaled down for that. So like your weapons are more expensive to buy and things like that, and like your equipment, your stuff, your horse. You can buy your own camp to like look after. So there's lots of like customizable things for it and stuff like that. And so far, what I've played of it has been quite fun, and playing with like up to four players in missions and stuff, it's been pretty good as well. So yeah, very very similar to Grand Theft Auto Online, but very very good as well. So wait and see what they do with that and develop it forward as well, because that basically is its own game kind of thing. So but yeah, really good game, Red Dead Redemption 2. So highly recommend that. So in terms of Nintendo stuff, I've actually been playing in a Tetris Puyo Puyo tournament.
Oh yeah.
I think I mentioned briefly last episode. I actually managed to win more games than I lost, so I was quite happy with
That's
that.
quite something. Well done on that.
Yeah. So basically, there was two brackets. There was like a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket kind of thing. So I got through the first round. I basically we beat lady from Nintendo Basingstoke. So yeah, so won that one, but then lost in the second round of the winner's bracket. But then went to the loser's bracket and won three more matches there. But yeah, it was like so I won at least four and I lost two. So you know, it's not too bad. I thought, to be honest, for a game I've not really played that much this year. But it was really, really fun to play some Tetris Puyo Puyo in a sort of more competitive atmosphere. It's not really something I've ever done before. Not a game I've ever played in a tournament before. But yeah, I'd hope there's more development of Nintendo UK Online, so there's more tournaments and more fun things like that to come in the future. I know they do regularly set up some other ones. I think there's been like a Mario Kart and a Splatoon one recently. But yeah, it's just a really fun atmosphere, and there's so many really good Pokemon Puyo Puyo and Tetris players at the moment. So if you get a chance, I think it's still available on the Twitch channel for Nintendo Players UK. So give that a look. If not, follow it on the Twitter page, and there should be links on there as well. So I think one of my recordings was actually available on that channel as well. So I'll try and find out the link, and I'll post it in the description of this video on YouTube and on iTunes if I can manage it. But yeah, really fun, and I just want to thank everyone who ran that, and thank you very much for the invite, for letting me play in as well. So it was really good, really fun. Okay, so let's go on to the big one, shall we? Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. I got the Eevee version. Wow. Firstly, the reaction online to this game was it was weird. There were so many like proper Pokemon fans, they call themselves, who you know, obviously are competitive players, like the competitive nature of the game and things like that of the original series. Lots of those people didn't seem to like the game from what I was reading on like Twitter and like Facebook and in news articles and things. So I was when I got the game, I was a little bit apprehensive whether I would enjoy it or not. But overall, the way I can describe it is, if you love Pokemon Go, you're going to love this game. If you love the Gen 1 series of the game, or even Gen 2, you probably still get away with it. You're going to love this game. If you're from any other generation, you might not like it as much, but it's still a really good, fun game, and there's a lot more aspects to it than I was expecting. It's just fun to go back into Kanto at the Kanto area again and sort of re-experience what seems like a more of like a alternative reality sort of version, because you have the likes of Red and Blue trainers you can find and fight against and with in this game, so it's very strange. But I think the whole main difference of this game to the others is the whole catching Pokemon, because they've got rid of battling the Pokemon to weaken them down to catch them. It's a very strange sort of system, and to use it in a game that's not on a mobile game kind of thing. It's weird to describe it, but when you go into like a wild patch of grass, you actually see the Pokemon like waddling around in the grass, and that is the funniest thing to see ever. Seeing these little creatures just waddling about and just wandering around, and it's so easy to just walk into the one you want to catch and just catch it, so you can ignore all those stupid Zubats in the caves and like all the Diglets and things, and just go and get the like Charmander you can see in the corner or something like that. It works so much better, the fact that you can go to the Pokemon you want to see and don't have to worry about going through about 900 of the ones you don't want before you get the right Pokemon you do want. In terms of like IV and EV sort of abilities in this game, there's a thing called chaining. So you can catch a certain amount of Pokemon, and the longer your chain goes on, the higher the IVs and the better chance you have of getting the likes of shiny Pokemon and things like that. This works quite well to an extent. Basically, the chain is catching one Pokemon, second Pokemon, third Pokemon. They've all got to be the same type. So, for example, they've all got to be one Charmander, two Charmander, three Charmander, four Charmander. But if they run away from you, that breaks the chain completely and you have to restart all over again.
Ooh.
Most irritating thing in the whole system is when they run away after, like, you get to, like, the 20th or so. Because it's when you get 35 plus, I believe, there's more, that's when the higher chance of higher IV and higher chance of shinies appearing. So it's kind of frustrating, to say the least. But if you're really into grindy games to get the perfect Pokemon and things, I think it does sort of give that extra aspect of a game kind of thing. The other problem with doing the chaining system is it's not just that one Pokemon you're chaining that could be a shiny Pokemon, it could be any Pokemon in the area. So, for instance, I was chaining a load of Pikachus in the Viridian Forest to try and get a higher IV one, and all of a sudden a Metapod shiny appeared. So I was like, oh, what do you do? Do you carry on chaining, or do you get the Metapod? And it's like, ooh. So I ended up getting the Metapod and missing the chain. So it's kind of annoying, you've got to go back through the chain to try and get them again, but it is quite interesting the way it works. In terms of gameplay and stuff, it's overall very fun. The battles are exactly the same as the original series, except you can do it in two-player. So you can have one player on one Joy-Con, another player on another Joy-Con, or on the Pokeball. And if you play two-player, it's kind of you're very, very strong. You're not going to lose many battles with the two of you. But it does give that something different. And it gives you boosted experience points and things like that for having two players. So sometimes it might be worth doing if you're, like, really low down at the start. But I think as you go through, I think it's so easy to level up your characters and your Pokemon, because of every time you catch something in the normal, like, Pokemon Go system, like catching Pokemon, you get experience points for doing so. So it's very easy to level up very quickly. Just a mention on the Pokeball itself as well. I didn't get it, but I have seen lots of other people who have basically taken the Pokeball controller out with them on the go. You put one Pokemon into this Pokeball, you do a few kilometers walking distance on it like you would on Pokemon Go, come back to the game, and you've basically done like 20 levels of this Pokemon.
What?
Like, level it when you come back. It's so ridiculously overpowered, it's unbelievable. But I suppose you've still got to do the walking distance to do it. So that's quite a good little way to sort of promote healthy living, I suppose, and things like that. So it's something different. So maybe too overpowered, though. The problem with that. But I don't know how it works with, like, later on Pokemon in terms of, like, level 50 plus, whether you'd get so many level ups. But I know that early on you can get loads and loads of levels really quickly. So it's got the same sort of system with the gym leaders and having the 8 gym leaders on. It's basically the same story of Pokemon Yellow with the added Jesse and James from Team Rocket, who you have to battle a few times. Their designs in game are excellent, just like the animated series. It's literally spot on. It's fantastic. But yeah, other than that, I can't really say much more. I've got as far as Sabrina at this stage. I think it's Gym 5. Mm-hmm. I think that's only because I've been playing so much Red Dead Redemption that I just haven't had the time to play Pokemon. So Eevee as well. Eevee stays on your head the whole time. I don't know if there's any way to move Eevee other than, like, when you select the Eevee to do the HM moves. Mm-hmm. So fly, cut, I don't know about surf, but I know fly and cut and flash is all handled by Eevee. So, like, you don't have it as a move, it's just an extra thing like they did in Sun and Moon. So that's quite cool. And riding on Pokemon, any Pokemon which is big enough to ride, like I had a Rhyhorn I was riding earlier on, that's really fun as well, because it's basically replacing the bike in game with an actual Pokemon, so it is very cool. There's no bike and there's no fishing rod in this game, which made it really weird for me. I was really confused, because, like, you want to go to the usual places to get those items and they're not there kind of thing. So it was very strange. But yeah, overall, I've really enjoyed my experience of it so far. I'm going to continue it through till next episode. I'm not going to talk to you about the ending, I guess. I don't want to spoil it too much because, you've probably already played it before, so who knows? But yeah, I think overall it's been a really good experience for me personally with Pokemon Let's Go. But of course, I'm quite biased to the fact I love Pokemon Go as well, so maybe that's it. But I just have the Pokemon Go system basically molded into Pokemon Yellow Remake. It works really well, and I think there's some good aspects and some bad aspects. But it, as a new experience, I think overall it gives a really good idea to and a new fresh face on the Pokemon series. But from what I've gathered, most people are happy with the Pokemon wandering around in the grass and stuff, but not so happy with the battles kind of thing. Which is kind of strange to me. I do know Snorlax, you have to battle him first to completely get rid of his HP bar, then you throw the Pokeball kind of thing.
Oh.
And it is, yeah, I don't know if it happens just for legendary Pokemon, maybe, and Snorlaxes, but it did seem a bit slow and long-winded when he did it that way, so I can kind of understand why they try to move away from that, but some people like that kind of thing, so yeah, it's a strange one, but hopefully everyone can get on and just enjoy it for the game it is, rather than moan about what the game they actually wanted kind of thing. I think I said it a lot on Twitter and Facebook that everyone expects far too much for this game, I think, than what they're actually going to get.
I think
I don't know if you agree with that, Matt.
I think with that, I think people were just hoping for more in terms of like the first mainline Pokemon game on the home console and not just this kind of pseudo spin-off, I guess.
I can get what you mean.
Because for me, it seems good enough. Like I'm going to be getting it for Christmas myself, but for me personally, it's just not too exciting, like what Sun and Moon was, or a new generation.
Yeah.
Or Sinnoh remakes, which I don't think we'll be getting for like another 2 years. But I think for what this game is trying to accomplish, I'm like fine with it personally. I think it's quite good, but at the same time, I can see why people can be disappointed in it.
What I'd like to see personally, I would like this to continue. I would like to see a Let's Go 2, maybe.
Yeah, like I've heard that idea as well. Like Johto remakes next. Like Let's Go Pichu.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. Because it doesn't. I think as more of a spin-off, but actually still in the same world, does sort of work as long as they're doing the next game for the professional players and the people that want to, the competitive scene of Pokemon and maybe a more advanced looking Pokemon game, I can understand what they're going through and what they want.
Oh yeah, it definitely works. It's just like I don't want it to be like the new standard, you know. I would still like Wild, but like if the Sinnoh remakes are gonna be in the style of Let's Go, I would actually be mad, because I'd want to experience that in like the traditional aspect of it. Whereas Let's Go, I would like it to be its own series. Like Johto will be next, and Hoenn after that, and then Sinnoh after that. How many years ahead that is? But for a Sinnoh remake, I want it to be traditional, because I think for me, after getting rid of like the grid-based overworld in Sun and Moon, and having to go back to that in Let's Go, is just like slightly annoying. Like I know it's free moving. I know.
I agree with you there. Yeah,
but just how the layout of the world is, it just like looks less organic compared to Sun and Moon, and that's what I don't want. I want a reimagined Sinnoh rather than, yeah, let's just update the visuals. Still make it look great, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's just a bit lackluster.
This just suffers from is the fact that they've probably been made this game the same time as Sun and Moon was on the cusp of ending kind of things. So I think that because they're like trying to use aspects from both at the same time. Maybe they didn't quite get the exact like thing they wanted, but I can see what you mean with the grid system, like going to like literally to a left to right, up down right. There's no diagonal sort of movement from like NPCs and things like that. It does make the world seem very rigid kind of thing. I get what you're trying to say, but I do like, well, I would like a more open sort of aspect to it, but if it makes it longer and takes longer to do and things like that, you can understand why they've cut corners to try and do that. But I think the fact that they've got down to the 151 plus the alone forms are available in this game as well. Because they've got down to those ones, I think it's because of like modeling and things like that, it could take a long time to create all the Pokemon in for one game.
Right.
So I don't mind this being a separate game to the other one, and the other one could be more time put into it to make it a better game. This will do for now. It's not a 3DS port to the Switch.
No.
It's nowhere near that. It's much better than a 3DS game. A lot of people just said it's a 3DS game. I don't believe it is. But I can understand where their quarrels are coming with the actual gameplay itself. I agree somewhat there. So, but overall, it's a great game and it's a great pickup for Christmas for quite like a few hours of gameplay here and there. It's a Pokemon game you can play on your TV and on the go. So I'm quite happy with it, to be honest, overall.
What
so,
do you think about using it in handheld then?
Yeah,
apparently
handheld.
You still have to use motion, right?
You still have to use motion to catch Pokemon. Yes, this is true.
That's a bit silly.
But you can do it in two, three different ways. So, well, you've got the Pokeball option still. So you can play in tabletop mode and just throw the ball like that. You can still use one of the two Joy-Cons, but you can also play it in the mode with the Joy-Cons attached to the console itself.
But do you still have to use motion in that way?
You still have to use motion, but it's done slightly differently.
Okay.
So basically, it's like you've got a camera kind of thing. You aim it at the Pokemon, then you throw the ball just with a button press rather than a throw.
That's okay.
Yeah. It works, but it's not overly ideal, if I'm honest.
No.
It's a little bit off. It's very similar to what Pokemon Go does with the AR sort of function. It's very similar in that way with the movement.
Right.
But it works. It's an option, but I would still suggest leaving it in tabletop mode and using the one controller myself. I think it does work. I can see why people get annoyed with not being able to use Pro Controller and stuff like that. I don't understand that at all, especially with the Pro Controller having some aspect of motion control itself as well. So maybe I don't know if there was some sort of problem with them not having it in the wired controllers. Maybe that was the issue with it. I don't know. Maybe they had some sort of problem with it. I don't know. But it's not a problem, if I'm honest. You can play it in either mode, and I don't see any issues with it as such, but I just feel more comfortable with just the one Joy-Con myself, personally. So overall, really fun game. Really had really good fun with it. I'm looking forward to continuing that game. And hopefully there'll be more to come from that in the future. And then the other thing I sort of think about it, like, do you reckon there'll be any patches or extras added on afterwards?
Probably not. I mean, there could probably be patches, but you don't really see that in Pokemon games, do you?
No, you don't, do you?
Like, you wouldn't see like patches of, like, oh yeah, this is like new content, like you would like Mario Tennis or Splatoon.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, mention Mario Tennis before. Well, as you mentioned there, have you seen how good their online mode's got for that now? They've got online tournaments and all sorts been added. It's just crazy. Worth a look again if you've not played that. So, oh, and I did pick up Starlink last week and I still haven't played it yet. So I will be getting around to that. I got it picked up for Black Friday. I basically got the Star Fox edition for £40 when it was supposed to be 70, I think it was original price. So not a bad deal there. So I thought might as well pick it up and something to play over Christmas maybe. So very fun. Hopefully I get to play that soon. Matthew, what games have you been playing?
What have I been playing? What have I been playing? Okay.
What have you been playing?
So
it says here You got two.
I got two.
Ace Attorney, Trials and Tribulations.
Hey, spoilers, man. Come on.
Spoilers.
I'm going to add one. I'm going to... given that the Game Awards are soon approaching, I thought I may as well revisit Celeste. Try to finish up on that.
Cool.
Do some of the B-side stuff.
Oh, it's so good. That's in so many awards and potential awards for it. Definitely deserves it.
I'm really rooting for it to be Game of the Year. I don't think it will, and in some cases, I kind of don't think it really deserves. For some reason, it doesn't feel right. But then again, you know, I would like it to win.
I don't think it'll win Game of the Year, but there are other categories I think it could win.
I think it will win Indie Game of the Year. I mean, if it's up for Game of the Year and none of the other indie games are, then I think Celeste will win. It's just a very well-designed game. It really demands you to perfect your movement. We'll try and error, but like, it's not really a dick about it. You know, you don't have lives, for example. If it had lives, then... it would just be very horrible, you know. And you could cut out of the level anytime you want, really, and still... Okay, so one of the collectibles are strawberries. Unfortunately, they don't unlock anything, but it's just satisfying having unlocked all of them anyway. And they're hidden all throughout the level. So the thing with them is... so each chapter... of the seven main chapters, they're split into parts. You have like a beginning part, and then you have, say, this part of. So, for example, chapter three is all to do with a hotel. So, it may be at the start when you're just arriving at the front doors. The second bit may be all the rooms. The third bit may have been up in the penthouse apartment bit. You know, so on and so forth. You have sections each comprised of like multiple screens. So you could like start from any point, like checkpoint, let's say. That's a better way to describe it. You could just start from any checkpoint after you've done that area. And you could scout out for strawberries, and you don't have to finish things. So you could literally just like pick up a strawberry in one screen and just quit the level, and that strawberry will still be saved. You don't need to get to the next checkpoint or anything like that.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's just like really, like it knows what it's doing. Basically, that's like the best way to describe it. And it's just really fun. It's a good challenge. I think some bits can admittedly be a bit unfair. Like with some of the secret areas, you know, like how in the new Super Mario Bros. Games, you may have like secret areas, like behind walls or something. And they may often hide Star Coin or whatever. So Celeste can sometimes do that, it can be... some areas, it makes sense to go through, like maybe crack in the wall. It's like, oh, if I dash through there, then a new path will open. That makes sense. Or if my dash doesn't work, I need something with more power, which may, you know, which may have... you may have access to... in your current level. But other times, I just feel like I had to look through guides just to complete my collection. I just didn't feel like it was very obvious that that's what you're supposed to do. So that's like my main gripe. Like, it's not obvious that you were supposed to go through this wall. Although it may just be being kind of silly, which is very likely. But other than that, you know, Celeste is just like, if you like platformers, definitely gets a list, you know. It's definitely probably like my favourite indie on the Switch in eShop, probably. Just like a very well made game all around. I've gushed about it before, on an episode of years past. my next game is Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations. I got around to this back again. I decided to wrap up the trilogy recently, because I think it was about around summer of last year that I only got back into Phoenix Wright again, and that's when I started Trials and Tribulations.
Okay.
So back then I just got up to the start of chapter 4. And then I only just picked up chapter 4 again around summer of this year. But it wasn't until recently that I decided to finish up with the whole thing overall. And it only took until, like, it's weird because I think, again, so sorry for my sniffling throughout this whole episode.
He's still doing
I know, I
it.
can't help it. There I go again. But
Typical of the sniffle
this
episode.
last chapter of Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, the whole trilogy was such a great way to end the trilogy. Just to end the whole three games. Just all came together really well. Because like before that, I didn't really think that any other case really had me grasped by it. You know, of course, all the great cases are great by themselves. You know, all of them are interesting. All of them have their own great set of characters to interact with, and so on and so forth. And of course, there's Golo, who's the coffee-loving prosecutor of Trials and Tribulations, who I think is just really cool by himself. But just this last trial, just seeing how it all comes together. It was just wonderful. It really was. Even compared to like the previous games, I really wanted to stay up all night just to beat it. And I didn't really feel that way before about an Ace Attorney chapter. So the games are coming to the Switch, and I really hope that the other games do. So that's Apollo Justice, Dual Destinies, and Spirits of Justice. Especially because there's rumours that Ace Attorney 7 is also coming to the Switch eventually. But yeah, I just hope that the Ace Attorney series will just like grow to more fans, you know, because you know me, I do love Danganronpa. So again, if you like murder mysteries and vision novels, or just like any kind of wacky scenarios, please do give Ace Attorney a try when it comes out on Switch. I think early next year. Let me just check
Early
quickly.
next year.
Ace
I don't
Attorney.
think I've ever played upon that, to be fair, so I might give it a go.
It is really good. I think if you wait, you'll probably get it for a very good price. Let me see. Because I think I remember getting it for like about just about a tenner in a sale on the 3DS eShop when I first got it. I think back around winter 2015. So,
Okay.
but I would say if it's like about, I could see it being about 30 quid probably for the trilogy, maybe cheaper. I would say that's still worth it. I'd say if you're a tad bit unsure, then definitely check out the demos on the eShop, because there are demos for Spirits of Justice and Dual Destiny. So if you want like a taster of what the Phoenix Wright formula is like, then check it out. I would recommend the anime, but the anime is kind of not great, admittedly. Or at least from the first season. I'm not sure how the second season is faring, but first season I remember feeling very mediocre about. Anyway, that's Ace Attorney. The other is the first brand new Nintendo published Switch game I bought this year, and that is Sushi Striker: The Way of Sushido.
So you just bought one game this whole year.
Well, for Nintendo published games of 2018,
And we do a Nintendo
let's
podcast.
see. So like so far, I've got the DLC for Splatoon 2 and Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And I got Pokken Tournament, but that was from last year. And I got Celeste. I got Crypt of the Necrodancer. I got Fury, and I got the Mario & Rabbids DLC. But yeah, Sushi Striker is very much this year's hidden gem, I guess. It's very much. Do you remember Ever Oasis? Yeah,
Yes.
so that was the 3DS title release last
It was on the
year.
3DS, right?
Yeah, it kind of bombed, for lack of better words. And I think another similar title would be Codename Steam. Another one, unfortunately, would probably have to be Tokyo Mirage Sessions, as much as I love that. Yeah, so Sushi Striker is very much a niche title that probably only the most dedicated would actually remember having existed. It's very fun. That's what I'm going to say. I managed to pick it up at a bargain price of 13 quid. It's quite something. If I check on Amazon, it may be about 20 quid, maybe. So it's only 20 quid
Okay, it's
on
around there.
Amazon, which is actually quite a bargain price compared to all the other Switch titles released around similar time frame. So that probably tells you all you need to know about how that game did. Yeah, it's just a really wacky, fun game. So of course the story is revolving around sushi. Basically, the Empire has taken control of all the sushi in the land. So no one gets to taste a good taste of sushi, apart from our hero Musashi, who eventually gains the power of a sushi striker and is able to do battle by eating sushi and hitting other people with the plates that the sushi was on. So that's the gist of Sushi Striker. I explained that in my meticulous efforts, of course.
Yeah, of course. So this is basically like a puzzle game, isn't it? This is
Kinda,
like how it works.
so the main core gameplay is that you stack up plates of sushi of the same color. So there'll be light blue, light green, no, rather light yellow and light pink plates. And there's a lot more colors as well, and they each do their own separate damage. So like, I think the light blue is worth the least, but I
Okay.
think early on in the games, probably pure red plates are probably like your biggest damage dealers. So of course,
Okay.
so you go around trying to stack plates. Of course, the lanes are constantly moving, so it's all about trying to be quick on the reflex and more being quick about which combos to go for. Because if you go for any one that catches
Yeah.
your eye, you'd end up just getting a lot of two plates. But if you think about it, you'll be able to get a chain of like 10 or more plates, which will eventually do more damage when you throw them. It's actually like a bit more in depth because you've got sushi sprites, which allow you to do different skills. So, for example, the main one, Jinrai, will allow you to transform all of the plates in your lanes all to the same color, so allowing you to just get one big combo of 20 odd plates to do a lot of damage. Or another, maybe to increase the defense of yourself to avoid getting as
Yeah.
much damage. Another one is called Sweets Paradise, that fills your lanes with sweets that allow you to heal yourself. There's also like a lot of variety in like some battles. Like some battles have capsules, which are sort of like items in America, let's say. So some will allow you to fill those sprites' abilities faster. Some will damage your opponent more, and so on and so forth. So like, there's a lot.
So
Just like,
is the whole game like on a one versus one like concept,
yeah.
or is it like is there a different how does it all sort of play? Is it like is there an like arcade mode just on your own, or is it always against
Like
one
the
versus one?
main thing going around is like you're going through the board, experiencing the story. So you're going level by level, going against different people who all have their own sushi sprite team. You form a team of three sushi sprites, which will be leveled up to gain
Okay.
more to gain a different variety of sushi, for example. And to increase their defense as well. In addition, you can start seeing things like your favorite sushi, which allow you different raw powers, which are like passive effects, let's say. So it may be allowing you to deal more damage when you're at low health, or gain more experience from battles, stuff like that. And then like a lot of other customization and other like little things like that as well. So because of that, it can get a bit repetitive. Like, it's still fun. Like, there is a demo, so if you do like the demo, then I would recommend picking up the game for a decent price. But yeah, I can only play like about every couple of maps before putting it down for a little while, and then I'll come back to it. So it's perfect for like playing on the go, especially because I think I prefer using the touch controls.
Okay.
So like, you can either play it on TV or handheld. So TV, you use the button controls using the left stick to guide your hand to join up the plates and stack them. Whereas in a touchscreen, you use your finger, which can be more intuitive, but I've encountered some problems. Like say if you got three plates of the same color in a row, with the button layout with a traditional controller, you will only have to press right to join them all up instantly. But with the finger, if you don't connect the plates one by one, i.e., you can't just connect the first plate from the third plate, you have to connect the first plate to the second plate, then the second plate to the third plate. If that makes any sense at
Okay,
all.
I kind of get it.
So it's not like.
It's very difficult to explain this game, isn't
Yeah, so it's
it?
not like you. So it's not like as long as you have a line that goes through it, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Connection, you've got to have the end points on a plate. So you've got to have the starting point on one plate, and you've got to have the end point on another plate. Which can make things quite harder to do, I feel. Like, it'll just be like, I just feel personally it'll just be a lot simpler if that was the case. I'm building it on button layouts. I feel like the cursor moves a bit too quickly. Like, you could hold it down for like a split second, but you can still move down right to the bottom of your screen, which I can find a bit annoying, especially if I wanted to get to be a bit more precise. So that's my only major gripe with the game. Aside from that, it's just a lot of fun, really. And I'm a big fan of stupid stories. Another one is Inazuma 11. The fact that they're like, it's just because football, but like suddenly in Chrono Stones, they're just going on about how football is ending the world. It's stupid, but it's those kind of stupid stories that I just love. And I'm really glad Sushi Striker is filling that void of sorts. And for like, you must know that that these story writers know how stupid they're being, but they're just having fun with it anyway. I'm not sure how much I've actually played of it yet, because the Switch doesn't have an activity log, which it really should have. But yeah, I'm enjoying my time. Again, I only got it for 13 quid, I think. I got it for the game collection, so like, I think
Good
the
deal then.
game collection, if I look, may still be up. Sushi Striker. Yeah, so it's only 16 quid for the Switch, which is actually cheaper than the 3DS version. Which is wild.
It says £40 still on the store.
On the game collection.
No, on the Switch store, it's still £40 for
Oh yeah. Well,
Sushi
like, that's Nintendo designing the price. It will probably always be at their recommended retail price.
Striker. I might download the demo just to give it a go, I think.
Definitely download the
It looks a
demo.
fun game.
Yeah.
I do like a good puzzle game every now and then, but yeah, it's something different. So definitely something interesting. I'll look into it. Yeah, absolutely.
I do love it. I am loving it. I don't think it will be anywhere near Game of the Year material, but I'm just happy that I got it for a decent price. Yeah, it's the game collection are selling it for $16.95, which I'd say is actually quite worth it at that price if you're
Good
into that
price.
kind of game.
Good price. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Ah, man, oh man. The
Is there any other games, Matt? Have you?
Not really. At least not from I'm slowly getting through Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5, because I did finish Kingdom Hearts 2. Very much enjoyed it.
Oh yeah.
Pretty much better than Kingdom Hearts 1 in pretty much every way. I really wanted to get through Birth by Sleep before Smash, because Smash will probably be taking up all my time before Kingdom Hearts 3 launches. So I'm not sure if I'll either just like get through the story on YouTube or whatever. But right now, I'm just looking through all the cutscenes from 365/2 days.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
It's okay, you know. I want to get through the story just to see what happens. But when I got through the story of Recoded, and Christ, that was like the biggest waste of my time. Oh, yeah. So Kingdom Hearts is very. I'm just looking for the Kingdom Hearts 3. Apparently, it's gone gold. No, I think it has gone gold, which is
Yes,
very
apparently
exciting
so,
to
yes.
know. We could be getting something at the Game Awards, probably. That'd be nice to see. I don't think. No, actually, I'm not really too sure because I think the next trailer is going to drop the December 10th. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've been playing, really. Aside from that, I just realised that I really just want to get back into. Well, first of all, I want to get rid of this cold.
Smash Bros. When it comes
Yeah.
out.
But if anything, I just want to get back into writing. You know, that's what I need to do.
Yeah. So, is there any games you could like recommend now for people to pick up that are just coming out, or was there anything you fancy picking up before Smash, if you could?
Well, I'm definitely getting Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight, which is due out. It should be out. Well, it depends. Sorry. That's out on the 4th of December, so only a couple of days before Smash. Yes, I'm planning on getting that for Christmas. But there's like, you know, there's a lot that I want. I just don't have the money for it. And I feel Smash.
Freedom Planet is 35% off on the Switch store at the moment, just to let everyone know. £8.44 for a great game.
£8.44 that I'm willing not to spend on that. I'm
Ah.
sorry, Jack. It is
Ah.
okay. Well, I can't remember much.
Ah.
But yeah, I
It's cheaper than Goosebumps again.
That's something then.
There are literally a game for Goosebumps again.
Well, yeah, there's probably like a
Game
game
now.
for everything. Well, most movies.
I'm just having a look through the I'm having a look through the store if there's anything that sort of jumps out at me. And there's nothing that really does at the
Yeah.
moment, if I'm honest. The charts are interesting as well at the moment because Smash Bros. Is just the pre-order is number one, obviously. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu is number two. Guess what's number three?
Pokemon Let's Go.
No, Super Mario Odyssey, for some reason.
Probably like the cyber
So,
deals, probably.
and then Let's Go Eevee is number four. So literally, Mario is a Pokemon sandwich at
Jesus.
the moment. So, yeah, I did look through my games list as well. What Nintendo games I've bought this year and like officially published Nintendo games. Basically, I've got Super Mario Party, and that's it. So. I bought 15 games this year, and the one that's Nintendo published is Super Mario Party. Oh, well, I suppose you could say Pokemon Let's Go as
I
well,
think next year is just
but
going to be
yeah.
like a lot more hype because I feel this year Smash has been the only Nintendo published game that I've been truly hyped for in comparison to 2017 where there was Mario, there was Zelda, there was Splatoon, you know. Whereas this year I feel like it's only been Smash for like Pokemon garnered like a fair
Yeah.
amount of hype. But I think the closest one to that was like probably Mario Tennis. Probably.
It's definitely much more improved than what it was when it first came out. Definitely that game, but at the same time, it's still not for me. It's not a game I normally like playing at that Mario Tennis. So I can see the interest. But yeah, I was just looking through my list because I'm sort of weird. It's getting near to the like end of the year, and normally this time of year we would start choosing our games of the year. And I don't know what to choose, so
Well, I feel like Smash is gonna be it for me.
isn't out yet, so
I know, but like,
you might not like it when it
nah,
comes
I know I'm gonna like it.
Is there anything like from the games you've bought this year, Matt, that you say is the best game of the lot so far?
Okay, so 2018 release games. Let's see. So we got Celeste. Out of the games I've played, mind. We got Celeste, Splatoon 2, so we got the Octo expansion, we got Tour of the Golden Age, which is Xenoblade DLC, Donkey Kong Adventure for Mario & Rabbids, which definitely wouldn't be it. It was good, but not the optimum material, personally. And the Sushi Striker. And I think that's been about it. No, I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not disappointed. I'm just saying that's it. Probably not Sushi Striker. And I wouldn't say the Golden Age. So probably Celeste all around, but Octo Expansion would still be up there. Like, I'm probably not going to do a top 5 games of this year. Mainly because I feel like I haven't played a lot in comparison to 2017. Where 2017 I had just a lot more to make it interesting. Whereas this year, I haven't really been playing as much.
I can give you my top 3 games altogether, okay. Not on Switch.
Oh yeah, mine was altogether anyway.
Red Dead Redemption is definitely number one. Red Dead Redemption is definitely number one. Spider-Man is number 2 because that game is really, really good for what it did. And Monster Hunter World is number 3. Right. So it's strange for me that I play in most of my games on the Switch, but I can't give you a game of the year game on the console at the moment until Smash comes out, obviously. I really like Pokemon Let's Go. I could definitely say it's on my top 5, but I don't think it's a game of the year worthy. It's a very good game, but it's not like the best game ever.
I think like this year has been a good year for games. It's just like...
But I was looking through my games.
I think this year has been a good year for games, but I think in 2017, just can't be top for a while. I think 2019 will be pretty good for Nintendo. So you got Fire Emblem, you got a mainline, well, I say mainline, but like probably the new gen of Pokemon. You got Smash DLC, you got Animal Crossing, you got Luigi's Mansion 3. We may get Bayonetta 3. We may get Metroid Prime. And we're probably still gonna get a lot more 2019. Which is really crazy to think about.
I think next year is going to be a very interesting year for Nintendo, definitely. It's that sort of push them all out and all go for it kind of period of the Switch now, isn't it? So it's interesting what they've done so far. I liked what they've done with the NES selection of games as well, the fact there's a few more games on that list now to keep giving you more and more as we go. They really need to push their own first party stuff a bit more this year, like next year coming, because like we've had Super Mario Party, we've had Mario Tennis, and we've had Pokemon Let's Go and Smash. So those are the 4 main ones really that people are definitely interested in. But so, there wasn't anything else compared to
the success. So
Mario Odyssey.
If we're going from fiscal years, so not carrying January, February. So March we had Kirby, April we had Labo, May we had Donkey Kong and Hyrule Warriors, although those were Wii U ports.
Yeah.
June we had Mario Tennis.
Hyrule Warriors.
Then July we had Captain Toad and Octopath Traveler, which got quite a good reception both sales wise and critically.
I've not picked up, but what I played of the demo was very good.
August, I think that was quite quiet, but we did have Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, although I'm not sure how that performed. September, had Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC. October, we had Mario Party and The World Ends With You. November, we had Pokemon, and then December, we're having Smash.
Yeah, so it is spread out throughout the year.
It's been all right. So, I just feel like in comparison to 2017 just had like a lot more hype releases, I feel.
I haven't opened Starlink yet, so that, be my game of the year.
Oh, yeah, Starlink was October. Yeah, late October. I mean, that's not Nintendo
it's
first
got
party.
Xbox in it, so it's got to be amazing.
So yeah, that ends it.
Still,
I'd say that ends it for the why we
played. Yeah, it's been a weird year.
Mm. It hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been perfect, really. But then again, you know, I mean, fine with it. I haven't had the money to spend on it anyway.
Excellent points.
So
yeah, poor Matthew. Poor Matthew. Maybe next year you'll have loads and loads of money when you win the lottery.
Hopefully.
Or you get like an old ancestor who's like passes away and leaves you all their Nintendo goodies.
Oh yeah, hopefully all my family members end up dead. Thanks, Jack.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you get those distant relatives and think, oh, I'm going to shut up now.
There we go. That's a good call. Anyway, so that ends it for this section. So let's move on to the next section. This is the final section of the podcast now. It's our general shout-out sections. Personally, I don't really have much of a shout-out. Although, hopefully, I will be getting some more in the next episode just to round up 2018. Jack, do you have any shout-outs?
Yes, I do have one shout out, but we did get one question on Twitter. Let me just go on to it on Twitter 1 second. So Takodakolis on Twitter, they asked us for the DLC predictions for Smash Ultimate, but I believe we did that last episode. So if you haven't listened to the last episode, go check that one out.
We did do.
Might be quite surprised at how. We went through like 20 characters, I swear, we could have chosen.
I think so.
No, just saying, if you haven't.
Okay, going off that character prediction thing, do you think we'll see the first character at the Game Awards?
Interesting.
I think it could be possible, but I don't think so.
Was any of the DLC for Smash U or Smash 4, whatever you want to call it. Was any of the DLC announced before the game was released? I don't think it was.
Mewtwo
was the like add-on one. It's like Piranha Plant is the same thing now, isn't it, basically?
Quite,
if you buy the game now, you get it early or whatever. So I kind of get what you mean with that one, but I'm like, there was any other DLC character other than that, was there?
No.
That was all that was known. So I don't think we will, but I think there'll be something hyped for Smash in the Game Awards, though. I think there'll be something in
then
it.
Then what do you think it'll be announced?
I don't know. Maybe an extra stage or something. I don't know. Something really stupid. Like a Game Awards stage. I don't know. I really don't know,
well,
honestly.
That's more likely than Juno
there could
being
be anything,
Smash,
couldn't
it? There you go.
There is Game Awards on Friday this week, isn't it? This week coming.
It's very early Friday.
It'd be interesting here. Early Friday morning for the UK. I've got the. Oh, no, I haven't got it anymore. I did have a list of times here. I've already closed it down, but sorry about that. So it'd be interesting to see what comes from the Game Awards, because normally something that gets announced for Nintendo games and other games as well.
I think we went through this last episode as well. I think there's definitely something happening with Nintendo at the Game Awards.
They haven't announced what. But
well, of course not.
It's gonna be lit. So yeah, that's cool. That's DLC predictions are in the last episode. Go and listen to that if you want to listen to what us rambling on about 20 million characters we could choose for DLC characters. I just want to do a quick shout out. This week, I realised last minute that it was the Sonic Hacking Contest this week, which is a community of Sega nuts who basically hack the Sonic games and create levels and different games and things out of it. I might have mentioned a few times about games I've downloaded previously from the Sonic Hacking Contest, but if you check out sonichacking.org, you can go there now and download all the games which are available for the hacking contest. There are a lot of 3D mods this year, There are some very interesting ones for Sonic Unleashed, which I believe is on the on Steam or on other PC games available. Well worth having a look on that. And if you check out either Mega G Wolf on YouTube, Red Hot Sonic on YouTube, or who's the last guy now? I can't remember who his name is. Oh my god, it's just gone. I'm gonna have to look this up. Some call us Johnny. Some call me Johnny on YouTube. You check out any of those three, and they've done a playthrough of every single game that's in the hacking contest for each of those games. Well worth a look. It's really good fun, and it's great to see a great community still coming together and building games that come from this, like Freedom Planet and Sonic Mania. So great to see more of it happening and ongoing. So cool. I'd be careful though, because maybe next year I might have to cancel because of copyright things. So you know, oops.
Who knows?
Yeah. So other than that, I've got no other real shout outs. Maybe we can sort of decide, what are we going to do, another episode this year, Matthew, or is this going to be the last one for the year?
We'll probably be getting another episode in before the year's end. So don't you worry. At least we hope so.
Don't worry. We'll have one Christmas special episode just for you. Yay.
All right. I think that's around about it. So, as for where you can find the podcast, social media-wise, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Just look for End Podcast System. Our email is nintendopodcastsystem@gmail.com. It's all in the description. Again, sorry for the sniffles. This episode will be dedicated to it all. What else? You can find this podcast where you can listen in and tune in to the podcast on YouTube, Podomatic, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. So a wide variety of platforms for your listening pleasure. What else?
We've got another subscriber on YouTube, so we're up to, I think it's 103 now. So thank you very much, everyone who subscribes. 112 views on the last episode as well.
That's
on YouTube. So
really surprising. I don't know why.
That's quite a lot for us.
For like an episode
without
a guest.
I think you mentioned Xenoblade. Everyone.
For an episode without
everyone
a guest.
Everyone likes
Xenoblade. That's very surprising.
Yeah. We did well there. But yeah, thank you very much for that. If you could leave a review on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it. But if you can leave a review for us on there, we'd very much appreciate it. It helps us get seen on the searching criteria for anyone who searches up Nintendo podcasts. Hopefully it would come up to us and we'd have a few more views and things like that. But if you could leave a review on there, or send us a message if you are listening now, and say hi, thanks for doing a podcast and stuff like that, would be great. But yeah, thanks very much everyone for listening to this episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. Do you want to know where you can find me, Matthew? You can find me at Gorny7789. What?
And as for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Acegibbo, Acegibbo. Right. That about wraps it up. Jack, what is the music closing us off?
I haven't got that far. We could either do... Tell you what. Let's do. Have you got some Celeste music we could put in at the end here?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just
sorry, so, guys. That was a no.
That's just.
I was gonna put Smash Bros. But then I was like, maybe we can find some Celeste music for Matthew, because he's been playing it. But maybe not. Okay. Let's do Smash Bros. Music, because it's coming up soon.
We don't know what specifically, but Jack will pick something and then tell me what to put in. Right, so that ends it for episode 60 of the Nintendo Podcast System. We hope you all enjoyed, and happy gaming.
Happy gaming!